Hi, I'm Paul Lisnick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's Behind the Curtain podcast. This is WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick. And a couple of things going on during this wonderful half hour. In a little bit, we're going to talk to the artistic director of Writers Theater, Michael Halberstam, and how they're getting through this pandemic mess. But first, I want you to know about a great virtual fundraising event coming up for Actors Training Center and a bit about what the Actors Training Center does. Joining me to talk about it, couldn't get better people, Carol Debo is the founder of the Actors Training Center. Carol, thank you so much for joining me. We want to talk about all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And also joining us, Mary Hollis Imboudin, who is an actress, she's a writer, you know her for Marriage Story, oh, she's so good in that, in 2019, and the Real O'Neills. And from what I understand, Mary Hollis, if I called you Hot Dog, you'd be okay with that.
Oh yeah, it's my nickname.
Yes, a little birdie. A little birdie told me that, who describes your character in the new AMC comedy that I have not yet figured out how to say the name of it because I can't. So it's coming on AMC. It's called Kevin Can Do Something to Himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, AMC's wrestling with that one. And so Eric Peterson is our mutual friend. And known to our audiences. Yes, our former Shrek in Chicago at Broadway. But he talks about your character in that show as somebody we all know, but we never really got to know. Fair enough?
Yes, that's correct. She's certainly, our show takes place half in sitcom, and she certainly is somebody that you think that you know. But once she gets to have her own voice, you find out a lot more about her.
Ah, and I already have through Eric, so this is good. Anyway, welcome to both of you. We'll talk about the Cubs later because I know that's important to you, too. You see, Eric got me all ready for you. Carol, talk about the Actors Training Center because it's in Wilmette, so it's local, and people need to know about it.
Well, the Actors Training Center was founded, which is hard for me to even get off my tongue, almost 15 years ago. And I just realized there was a need for some place to not just train young actors, but almost give them vocational training as well, if you will. Like, how should they prepare themselves for an audition? Because if you can't work the business side of your career, you'd be the most talented actor on the planet and not get anywhere. So when I realized I was an actor and people are always seeing me on commercials saying, I want to do that. I want my kid to do that. Nobody really understood that this was like economics 101, and there's way more supply than there is demand, and you had to know how to navigate the business. So I opened the school with seven kids in 2007, and we run between 125 kids a term now, even through COVID. And my pal and soulmate, Mary Hollis Imboudin, was recommended to me as a teacher when she was an actor by her agent, who said, could you help this woman out? See if she can teach for you. She needs to make some money. And she turned out to be, of course, one of my favorite teachers and just a really close friend. And then she left me and became famous.
So Hot Dog really cut the mustard.
Pardon? Oh, Paul, I'm going to keep you.
So, Mary Hollis, obviously, let me talk for a moment about the teaching that you had to do, and you can go ahead and mock me too. But it's my understanding is that kids are at the, not kids, people who are at the Actors Training Center, it's about self-esteem. It's building confidence. So that's really even beyond the acting skills, right? How important is that for an actor?
Yes, I think it's really important for an actor, and I think it's important for a human on this earth. I think what is so great about this magical place that is Actors Training Center is that, it's a professional train to work program. Carol's syllabus and curriculum is really, really focused on getting actors sort of to the next level. But really, anybody can benefit from acting training. And the self-esteem thing that you bring up is so important to actors. I always say, and I kind of learned this from Carol, that, we have to, be humble in life as performers and really, really confident in the rooms that we walk into.
Mary Hollis, I've always said with our students that, we both always use these words, especially to the youth, you are enough.
Yes.
And that was so powerful. And just to let them know that Right? Exactly. That was really our mantra. It still is.
It still is. And I think that training can help, you know, your regular person who maybe not, you know, want to pursue acting professionally. But given that public speaking is like, you know, still our number one fear, I think that anybody can benefit from this sort of training. And that's what all of the instructors that I knew, and it starts at the top with Carol herself, through Actors Training Center, we're all very, very focused on you are enough, building that confidence, and really sending actors and human beings out into the world with their heads held a little higher.
You know, it's such an important conversation. And one day I want to have a longer conversation with you about this whole thing, with both of you, because it's true. I often in my own teaching, I mean, I'm a lawyer in training, and I often tell people that I hated law school, totally sucked, and I hated practicing law. But you know what? You want to be a good TV interviewer. You want to do some other things even related to the arts. Guess what? Law's a great background. So this whole notion of cross skills that work with you and the notion of competence and being a good person, taking it onto the stage and off the stage, it's just so important. It's as though it's not just about being an actor. Just about those skills you were taught. It's about integrating it into who you are as a person, Carol, I would think.
Yes, and also, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking exactly as a lawyer, look, what we do as humans is we transmit and receive information. That's what you did as a lawyer. That's what you're doing right now, interviewing the two of us. So if we teach people to actively listen and respond appropriately, which is what you need to do as an actor to be, if they become a child care worker or a dentist, that is a skill that will take you far, to listen actively and respond appropriately. And
absolutely right.
Right, Mary Alice? Like, that is a big, a big part of what everybody needs to do.
Right. And it's also the reason that I told Mary Hollis that Eric Peterson gave me all this information, so she will sue him and not me over the various information. So it does help. Hey, I want to talk about the fundraiser you have coming up, a gala, if you will. It's going to start streaming on April 24th, right through May 2nd. And, you know, COVID has sucked.
No,
and this
April
pandemic.
25th. It's
April 25th. I'm sorry. Okay. Wrong date.
Okay.
I apologize. April 25th through May 2nd. And the thing about the pandemic, the only decent thing is that, you know, maybe events people couldn't afford to attend or find their way to, we actually can now be a part of. And that can help, obviously, you know, the Actors Training Center, because you can introduce people who otherwise might not be able to attend event or be an event. So this is something we can all attend and experience incredible people like Rachel Brosnahan.
Yes, Rachel is joining us, and Tony Goldwyn and his talented daughter, Tess, and of course, Mary Hollis, Broadway stars who are willing to help out. Our mission really as we move forward is to start focusing more on an outreach component of the Actors Training Center, because what we do is so important. And now, honestly, with the pandemic, it has given me different arteries to try in order to reach out more. And that's really what this is about, is making it available to whomever needs it, no matter where they are. And the coolest thing is, like, if we have our musical theater kids in it, we have our comedy troupe kids in it, we have our arts and action actors in it, and your grandmas in Boca Raton can attend.
This is and Lord knows they want to.
Yes, I think it's so impressive that ATC has been able to, like, it can, you know, stay afloat and even bolster because of the pandemic, and everybody's gotten a little bit more creative, I think. But I think what Carol has found in the school is that we can reach outside now of just the North Shore and really, really invite young performers, older performers from everywhere outside of Wilmette and that sort of North Shore community to come into ATC and to discover this gym that has, you know, been up there for 15 years. So.
Yeah. And by the way,
the other part of it, which is so amazing, is we have former students from 15 years ago who are now working in New York and LA who can come back virtually, right? Literally on the 25th. We have two amazingly talented singers, songwriters who are going to be performing, who were with us when they were like 13 and 14. And they can come back and say, this is what it did for me, and celebrate with us and still be part of the family. It's kind of amazing. I mean, if there was an upside to the pandemic for the school, it was really being able to embrace everybody that's been part of the journey in this fundraiser on the 25th.
Yeah, I've seen some of the names. I mean, I know you've got former stars of Kinky Boots and the national tours coming. I mean, your students have really gone on to do great things. And before I've got to wrap with you, I just want to ask, in this pandemic, Carol, are you able to carry on classes virtually then? You still continue to do what you do until we can get back to normal?
I taught a class last night. It was our second week on-camera class. I have 13 adult actors. And it's just an amazing way to teach because, in a sense, for the teacher, I'm a little bit more connected. Mary Hollis, you know, when you're teaching in the studio, you're facing one actor and the rest of the class is behind you. But when you're teaching online, everybody's in front of you. We can watch the reactions of the other students, see how things are landing with them. We will always have online classes now. It will be another way for us to connect with young artists. We also have a connection now with adults who it's on their bucket list or they're returning to the business. So I was surprised and I love it. I have to say, I love it. I can be in my pajama bottoms and have a nice shirt on and teach.
And Mary Hollis,
well,
I assume
also,
that
if you're studying the face, you know, as a teacher, if you're studying the faces of people and trying to get them to understand their language on screen, you know, their physical language, their kind of sort of emotional language on screen, I think it's just kind of cutting to the chase when you're on Zoom, you know, trying to
teach. It is. You cannot hide, Mary Hollis. You cannot hide when you're teaching on
and
screen.
And people like Mary Hollis, who are going to be so tied up now doing seasons 2 through 20 of her new show, Eric Peterson because of our friend, but Annie Murphy from, I think I can say Schitt's Creek, right? I don't know what I can say anymore. But I think that's fair enough. I know on some TV stations you have to put the word up when you say it. That's one of the requirements. But anyway, the series, I want to just plug again, premiering this summer, right? Kevin can and fill in the word himself. Have you guys figured out how to say that word when you start doing national promotion for this on television?
I think that we've gotten pretty comfortable and used to Kevin can F himself.
Okay, all right. I think I can say that. So Kevin can F himself. So don't you want to miss that starting this summer? It sounds great. Everything I know about it, I just can't wait to see that. But most importantly, right now, we want people to attend. You can attend it free, right, Carol? The Actors Training Center Gala by going to...
The other thing that's super cool is that we have these amazing raffle packages, New York and Chicago-based,
yes,
where, you know, you're not going to get a manicure. You're going to get a half-hour consult with a casting director, free headshots. You're going to meet with pretty well-known actors that I have connections to that are going to spend a half hour with you. So we have a New York package, and anybody can buy the raffles, and a Chicago package. So agents, casting directors, well-known actors. It's pretty sassy. I'm really proud. I'm really proud of it. Yes. So it's April 25th to May 1, not May 2. And it's from 4 to 5. And you will just melt listening to 20 of our musical theater students sing a mashup of songs on Broadway. I know.
I can't wait to
really
watch it and donate because I want to help you guys out as well. I noticed New York package, you've got headshots with Michael Kushner. He's so great. Photographer out there, actor and photographer. Just wonderful. So I wish you all the best on that. We'll go ahead and promote it when people can listen to this and to know you're in Wilmette is fabulous. Carol Debo, congratulations on your work. May this be very, very successful for you. I'll certainly do what I can to help. Mary Hollis Imboden, Hot Dog, my new friend Hot Dog. Thank you so much for spending some time with me as well. And I look forward to your being just huge after this summer's premiere of Kevin Can F himself. Thank you. Congratulations to you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Check out actorstrainingcenter.org to join in for the fun. And once again, April 20, let me not get that wrong, April 25th through May 1st, right?
Exactly.
Okay, I got it right. Had some wrong information, but it's right now. That's the main thing.
Thank you,
guys. Be well. Best of luck to you.
Thanks. Thank you.
And we shift now from the great Actors Training Center to talk about one of the great theaters in our town, the Writers Theater up in Glencoe, Illinois, which, like everybody else, has been trying to deal with this horrendous pandemic, but doing well and has some great things coming up and going on. And I want you to know about it. And so joining me, Michael Halberstam, who is the artistic director of Writers Theater. It's been a while since we talked. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, how have you been faring this last crazy year we've all been through?
It's funny. I was just asking that of a colleague yesterday, and he stated, I don't ever know quite how to answer that question. You know, I suppose I can say as well as can be expected under the circumstances, and certainly I'm doing a lot better than many, so I'm very grateful for position that I find myself in.
Well, there's no question that theaters and the arts were the first hit and will be the last back. I mean, that's what's so difficult. And so I know there's a lot of efforts to get Congress and the state to fund things and keep everybody functioning. But one of the things I've always held hope out is I've said, you know what, who better in a crisis to figure out a way to maneuver it than an artist? And so there have been some things going on, certainly with your colleague theaters as well, like Porchlight and others. But man, Writers Theater, I took some time and I did watch these presentations. You did the Christmas Carol, a one-man performance. You played everybody. It doesn't take 1,000 people to put the Christmas Carol on anymore. It just takes Michael to put on a Christmas Carol. But you did it, and it was so beautifully filmed. And so talk about that process of getting it done. And I'm not sure if it's still available, or maybe it is. Hopefully it is.
It is not available right now, but it is something that we plan on coming back to, and we're working out some we're having conversations with some other streaming platforms for their possibility of showing it too. We knew that we were going to do two versions of Christmas Carol, one with Manual Cinema, where we help present their own rendition of it, but we also wanted to have our own version. As Manual Cinema's vocabulary and canvas tends to be very visual, we are a text-based theater. We wanted to counter that or complement it, actually, with the one-man reading that actually I've been performing for somewhere around 30 years. But it would be super dry to just film me standing at a music stand. So I thought what we would really need is a filmmaker to translate it from a potentially very static experience into something that would be visually interesting. And we had one on our staff, Stanton Long, who's won a number of awards for his work. And I asked him if he'd like to direct the piece. And really, I think the success of the rendition is as much a testament to him as to anything else, because he was super influenced by some theatrical filmings of Spike Lee's that he'd seen online. He allowed that as a leaping off point to try and create a visual vocabulary that would and an audio vocabulary that would keep the audience engaged in the narrative. And I think he did a beautiful job, and I'm super proud of him and his work.
It really is beautiful. If you do it again and you need somebody to play the Ghost of Christmas Future, I have all the lines memorized, so I'm happy to step in and do that. People who don't know theater don't get that, but they will if they read Christmas Carol or watch you next Christmas. Hey, I want to talk about something that is coming up, starting on April 28th through May 30th. You see, it's just like having a production at the Writers Theater. We have to watch it online now, but it's there, and we can watch it. I've had the pleasure, you've given me an opportunity to see this so we could talk about it. It's called The Last Match, and written by Annie Ziegler. And my memory is, wasn't this the show you were about to put up at the Writers Theater when we got hit?
That's correct. We were 3 days from closing Lydia Diamond's gorgeous play Stickfly, directed by Ron O.J. Parson, and we had to close that early. We elected to continue working for a couple more days until we realized that was really a bad idea, too. But we were within 2 days of previewing The Last Match. So it was heartbreaking, not the least of which reason being, I think Kira and the cast had done such a gorgeous job of rendering Anna Ziegler's text into just such a beautiful relief on stage. It was a wonderful production, and I've never lost my passion or fire for it. So when it came down to this opportunity to start presenting work digitally, this seemed like a really obvious opportunity, not the least of which reason being, you know, we can't compete with the kind of work that comes from Netflix, Amazon, HBO Max, any of the streaming services. So we have to, in some ways, invent our own style, and that is to create a piece that is inherently theatrical, that you could not necessarily make into a film, to use the tools of theater, but then to combine those with the tools of film to make for a dynamic engagement process that will help remind our audiences of the experience they would have had in the theater while still engaging them in the process of witnessing it through a streaming medium.
And the show itself, just so people, because it's called The Last Match, so you don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that well, you would think it's all about tennis and perhaps the U.S. Open, and it is. And we certainly have our Russian tennis player, our American superstar, but I don't want to give anything away. Let me simply say to you, what else will you let us know about The Last Match before we watch it online?
Well, like any terrific play, its themes end up, because it's so specific to its theme, it ends up becoming about so much more, about ambition versus actuality, about how far we will go to realize our dreams, what kind of personal sacrifices we make in our lives. And very importantly, you know, you would think it's just about the two tennis players, but actually it is as equally about their wives. So it comes at the piece through a happily feminist lens, and ends up balancing out the narrative that way, rather than giving you sort of the standard story of just exclusively the two guys. And I think that's a wonderful fresh take on the piece by the playwright, and it's just been incredibly sensitively rendered by Kira Fromm, who is just a terrific director. We loved working with her. We took the whole cast back into rehearsal, Paul, for 4 weeks, and then we shot we teched for about 3 or 4 days. That means when we put the lights and the sound, the costumes together. And then we filmed it in one day. And that's just a remarkable amount of work to move towards this single moment. But because of the preparation and the communication that Kira had with HMS Video, who've done all of our filmings for us, I'm really, really proud of the product. And I think it's a wonderful hybrid, super engaging. And I think you'll find your own way into it, and you'll take away what you want to take from it.
And the set, I mean, I think I could say we see it play out on a tennis court, so to speak.
That's right.
Just the lighting and the board. And I'm curious, was that the set we would have seen in Writers Theater?
Indeed, it was. All we did in the theater is we removed the seats so that the cameras had places to maneuver around. We had a 4-camera shoot. We ran the play once with the cameras on one side of the house, and then we ran the play again with the cameras on the other side of the house, which also managed to capture that sense of tension that you get in a live event. So although you're seeing cuts and edits and close-ups, they're all in support of an uninterrupted narrative, which is, of course, the joy of sitting in a theater. You're not looking at the tricks of cinema to help you feel like you're watching a continuous narrative. You're actually watching a continuous narrative. And I think that the tension of the live process and the joy, the humor, the wit, the sparkling dialogue all comes through magnificently because of the way Kira and the director, Matt, with the director for film, Matt, at HMS, managed to capture.
And the cast is 4-person cast is wonderful. I'm a huge fan of Christopher Sheard, and you just have, I mean, at least three, I think 3 of the 4, right, are returning to Writers Theater, where they've been seen in other shows. I've not, has Heather done other work at Writers?
No, this is Heather Kreisler's first show with Writers,
yeah.
And she just knocks it out of the ballpark. Kayla Carter is just, you know, one of the most lovely effervescent actors I've ever had the pleasure of working with. She also just participated in our gala video, which we're completing editing right now, and which will be released to the general public a few days after we share it with our donors. And of course, Ryan Halloran, who's done a lot of shows with us over the years, and he's just magnificent too. I mean, all 4 of them are equally matched and beautiful artists.
And people can get tickets. And, you know, this is the way to get tickets today. Look, everybody's got smartphones. Everybody's got, you know, I've got an Apple TV, so I can stream this thing up on a living room screen. The truth is, we can make this as close to theater as the pandemic is going to allow us to and enjoy it. And hopefully we'll get through all of this. The show itself is going to be made available from April 28th through May 30th. And is it, by the way, and people get tickets at writerstheater.org. Theater is spelled the proper British way, as well it should, T-R-E, at the end. But let me ask you, so ticket prices are, I know it's $40 for one. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I shouldn't interrupt as you're just promoting our show, but I think the R-E-E-R, I think E-R refers to the institution, and R-E is, like the R-E-R is a building, whereas R-E is the nature of theater, if that makes sense. I think there's actually an esoteric difference between the two.
That may be true, but I prefer to think of it as a snob that I am, and so I always prefer to just say it's the proper British spelling. I'm probably wrong, but you know, you're the first person to ever say, actually, there's a theory to that.
It might be the French way to ask, you know. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't want to do too much homework. I'll spoil my own mindset. The ticket prices are you know, $40 a person or $65 for a duo. You know, there's various prices, but the bottom line is you're helping the Writers Theater and enjoying this in your heart. It was great. It was the perfect show to watch. The way I did, which was to watch it virtually. It'd be great up on stage, as it will be, I'm sure, one day. But for now, being able to watch it this way, hey, it brings Writers Theater into our home. And Michael Halberstam, it's a great idea, and I wish you great success with it. And I want to see you back on stage with all your productions very soon, because I really miss
coming
up to Writers.
Thank you. We're actually going out to L.A. next week to film our third piece, Rideshare, written by Reggie Edmond and directed by his wife, Sim. And it is that is also going to be a beautiful piece, and we hope to have that in to share with you in about 2 months.
I will look forward to it. The office number is 847-242-6000, but get your tickets simply by going online, writerstheatertre.org. Michael, congratulations on this great production. I wish you well. I wish Writers Theater well. You're one of the best in our neighborhood, and I look forward to coming back.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that.
All right. Be well. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. You too, sir. Bye.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.